Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Virtual Reality Church.
Welcome to our virtual church.
Is there some type of way for a virtual congregation?
You're not a congregation if you don't congregate.
When you combine this access with the loss of the local, I become my own confession, and I go around the World Wide Web listening for echoes that say back to me what I've already decided to believe.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dear Diary, this is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you or somebody you know and care about is a member of the large club of people who would be classified as having an eating disorder. The subject came up last week here on Wretched Radio. I believe it was Mailbag Day. Somebody asking about resources for eating issues. Well, good news, the Bible provides plenty to help us navigate what we can do, how we should think, how we can help somebody who either eats too much, they don't eat enough, they binge, they purge themselves. Can the Bible really help? The word anorexia was never even used in the Bible. You're right, but that doesn't mean the Bible doesn't talk about food, doesn't mean the Bible doesn't talk about beauty, that doesn't mean the Bible doesn't talk about your body. And when we put all of those verses together, we can come up with a pretty holistic theology on the subject of eating, because the Bible is sufficient for all of life and godliness. If you want to do your own research on this, by the way, this is one of the most helpful ways to just bite into the Bible. It's a subject that you're struggling with, or you know somebody who has a challenge in a particular area. Grab your concordance and start looking for all of the verses related to the subject. Now, this means you're going to be bopping all over the Bible. That's okay. You don't need to read 3 chapters straight through every single day. You can use your Bible to learn about a particular subject where you have a need or a desire. And this would be one of those ways. Grab your concordance, look up all the words for food, dining, eating, body, beauty. You are going to find plenty there. Jimmy, would you use your Googler AI machine? Because I doubt you still. Do you even have a concordance anymore? Sitting on your shelf someplace?
Yes, I do.
Get where you have to pick it up and go, blow the dust off the top of it.
Because it's there.
It is there. Skinny. See how many times the Bible uses the word skinny to describe somebody. And if it does, which I doubt it does, it probably doesn't speak of it as a goal for life. The Bible, though, has everything that we need to help us figure out a theology of the body, a theology of eating. There are resources outside of the Bible that you can also use. For instance, did I mention it's free? Everything at Fortis Plus is free. We have a long series. I think we have 4 drive-by biblical counseling. They used to be called CDs. I was in Target on, this is embarrassing. I was hoping to buy a CD at Target on Sunday. We were out running errands. We were in there for others. Mrs. Friel needed a something at the Target. And we stopped, and I couldn't find the CD department. It doesn't exist. And so I asked the young lady, after you have to ring the bell 16 times, I said, excuse me, does Target still sell CDs? You mean like for watching movies?
What's that?
You work in this department. It would be too embarrassing to tell you I was looking for the Elvis epic soundtrack. But the CD thing, forget about it. They aren't all that popular anymore. Look at that technology passing us by. Jimmy, you find any words on skinny?
It's not used in the original language.
No.
No.
Yeah. Well, even anything. I mean, somebody who's slight, or I can't think of anybody that's even described that way. The Bible just does not spend a lot of time giving us physical attributes of people in the Bible. There are some. David apparently was a handsome fellow. Saul was a tall fellow. But those descriptions are typically given for a reason to explain why the individual behaved the way that they did, or why that they, for instance, Saul's, instance, why he was chosen, because that's what you need. If you're going to have a king, tall in stature is the ideal. Otherwise, we don't have descriptions of people. Why? Because God just does not put, it doesn't mean he doesn't put any, but he just doesn't put a whole lot of stock into external beauty or body mass. It just, now there are Bible verses on overeating. You probably know the word gluttony. Those verses are there, but those are heart issues more than body issues. And so we need to go to the Bible to help us develop a theology of eating. But you can also go to fortisplus.org. We've got drive-by biblical counseling. You can go looking for dozens of subjects that we cover. There's probably a couple hundred or more lectures there, and it's free. And we've got at least two. Scott Mell, Jim Neuheiser, both did about total of about six presentations on the subject of eating disorders. And now you're wondering, what does this have to do with a diary? Well, one of the resources that's available is called Eating Disorders by Mark Shaw. He's got some co-authors, Rachel Bailey and Bethany Spence. They talk about the issue of, well, it's titled Eating Disorders. Even I can figure that one out. Hope for Hungering Souls. And one of the most effective things he does in the book, besides explain it, break it down why, he shares diary inserts from a young lady named Katie. And I think they're helpful. And I think even as we read through Katie's diary, it's going to help us develop a theology of eating. We need to remember, even though eating has so much to do with the way we perceive ourselves, it is ultimately a internal issue, not external. It's internal. It's a heart issue. Now, please note, there is probably not a book. There is not going to be a presentation. The lectures on drive-by biblical counseling, nobody is going to be able to present a holistic presentation on the subject of eating disorders without somebody hearing it and going, yeah, but my situation, or, hey, are you saying this about... So please, if this is an issue where it's a struggle for you, this is not an attempt to work through it totally with you, but to perhaps provide some insights to get you on the right track in dealing with it or helping somebody who's dealing with it. So much of the issue, it is theological. It is heart-driven. And I just want to put up a warning in advance. We're not going to tackle everything. And I don't want anybody to be hurt by it. That's the last thing that we want. This is a skimming of the surface of the issue of eating disorders, which is so often an issue of identity. Eating disorders tends to put the focus on my identity is based on how people perceive me when they look at me. Now ask yourself the question, biblically, what's your identity? That's an easy answer. You're a Christ one. That's your identity. Nothing. You're not a black-haired one. You're not a short one. You're not a fat or skinny one. You're a Christ one. That's your identity. And so if you are moving your identification from Jesus to your body, well, then it becomes obvious what the fix needs to be. You've got identity confusion, so we need to reinforce your knowledge that you are indeed identified with Christ, and that is all that matters. Let's get to the diary, shall we? Dear diary, writes Katie, life is really super hard around the holidays. I'll bet it is. I know my life's purpose is to glorify God and to please Him in everything I do, but I can't honestly say I have been perfect. At the same time now, I know that I'm not meant to be perfect. God's the perfect one, not me. I know that when I mess up, because I do, God doesn't condemn me. So this is a reinforcement. This is an individual who is learning perhaps anew the necessity of having your identity placed and firmly planted in the knowledge that God so loved the world, He sent His Son to save sinners, even people who are willing to not use food rightly for the sake of body idolatry or confusion about body identity. In other words, to help somebody with an eating disorder, there's imperatives. There's no question about it. There are imperatives. You can't be overeating. You shouldn't be using your body that way. Food is supposed to go down, not back up. Those are imperatives indeed. But if we are going to help those deal with overcoming their issue of eating too much, too little, they've got to have the right motivation. They've got to have the energy and the power behind it. Then we see this all that everybody tends to use Ephesians. Well, the first three chapters, it's all about the gospel, and then it gets into the imperatives. Yeah, but it's not like Paul to the Ephesians is the only one who does that. First Peter, I'm telling you, it is a masterclass on combining. It's not like here's the indicatives, now the imperatives. No, Peter is like, but just weaves them in and out of one another, because he's going to command people to do something really, really hard. And if they don't have a source of power that is grounded in what God has done for us, they will never be able to sustain the effort to do things for God in light of what he has done for them. We'll continue reading Katie's diary next on Wretched Radio.
Be honest, when's the last time you shared the gospel with a stranger? Not posted something online, not liked a Christian meme, but actually opened your mouth and told someone about Jesus. Most Christians would rather do almost anything than evangelize. It's terrifying. Our resource, Terrified Too, it exists because Jesus gave us the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion, and he actually gave us the tools to obey it. Terrified Too, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus.
Would you like the university experience without the, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You ever been sitting in a sermon and your pastor drops a Greek word like he actually expects you to know what it means?
Well, in the original Greek, the word metanoia, and you're just nodding along like you totally followed that.
Well, what if you actually could follow it? Our resource, It's Not Greek to Me, is a basic Greek primer that teaches you to read your New Testament in the original language. It's Not Greek to Me. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options: be a doormat or be a bulldozer. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krott. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1646. The Westminster Confession is drafted in the Jerusalem room at Westminster Abbey. The confessions were drafted by an assembly of Episcopalians, Presbyterians, and Independents, and became the foundation of Reformed theology throughout Europe and America. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dear Diary, I realized why I hated God so much. Whoa, this is Wretched Radio, courtesy of a book titled Eating Disorders by Mark Shaw. Diary inserts from Katie explaining her process in overcoming eating disorders, courtesy of biblical counseling. The issue of an eating disorder all the time is theological. There's always theology involved. That's the beauty of biblical counseling. It is taking theology and applying it rightly to the mind first, then the heart of the individual. That's what biblical counseling does. It's like a sharp surgeon's scalpel. Gets in there, figures out the problem, and then discovers, oh, that theology is off right there. We need to correct it with that theology. And Mark Shaw helps us to do that and see that by sharing diary inserts from Katie, who wrote in her diary, I realized why I hated God so much. It's because I didn't really know anything about who God really was. I made God out to be impatient, mean-spirited, distant, and selfish. Come to think of it, that sounds a lot more like me than God. The God I hated was not the true God. He was my misunderstanding of God. My counseling and personal time in God's word have helped me come to know and love the true God, not some made-up version of him. Gotta go. Dinner's on the table. God, please give me the grace to glorify you, whether I eat or drink or whatever I do. Amen. XO Katie. You need that too. Now, I'm not suggesting that you hate God, but what you need, what Katie needs, what I need, is to know God better and to understand him rightly. And we've got to make sure that we don't just go looking for all of the lovey-dovey verses about God, but we shouldn't neglect them either. Again, 1 Peter, I'm telling you, masterclass in showing imperative, indicative. Peter, yes, does he tell you how you should live as an elect sojourner? The answer is, yeah, he does, but only after, first of all, 12 verses on the gospel. And then even when he goes about the business of giving imperatives, what does he do? He constantly reminds you of the gospel. Even after he says, be holy because God is holy. Serve God. Obey God in fear. And then what does he do? Because you were purchased with something more precious than silver and gold. You were purchased with the blood of the spotless Lamb of God. What is that? It's a reminder. Here's why you should be holy. Look what was done for you. And it gives you the correct motive for being obedient. That is key in the Christian life. That's why Peter weaves the two in and out of one another. Here's what you need. This is what's been done. This is what you need to do. This is how God feels about you. Now, this is how you should feel about him. This is what God says about himself. And this is now how you should view the world through a theological lens. It's the pattern for the Christian life. So whether it's an eating issue or it's an anger issue, whatever it is, knowledge about God is key. But remember, it's not just knowledge that stays in the head. It must make its way into the affections, into the heart. If that step is skipped, knowledge, then heart. Got to tell you, overcoming something like an eating issue, it's going to be very, very difficult. Dear Diary, with my counselor's help, I'm identifying some lies I believe. I used to think my eating disorder would somehow diminish my problems. Like, if I were smaller, my problems would be too. I realize now that problems don't stem from an inflated body. They stem from an inflated heart. I can see now that in trying to take control, I was pridefully dethroning God. I was sitting on his lap, pretending that I was calling the shots. Knowing how quick I am to play God, I've had to radically amputate some of my go-to attitudes and actions. For instance, I don't allow myself to change in front of mirrors anymore. That's smart, isn't it? Not the that mirrors are evil. I just know that for me, where I'm at right now, it's not good to spend a lot of time in front of them. My main goal is to reflect God, not myself. That's theology in action, is what that is. And that, by the way, is what biblical counseling is all about. If this subject intrigues you, make sure you listen to Greg Gifford's podcast. Make sure you listen to Libby Glosson's podcast. Avail yourself of the resources we have at Fortis Plus on the subject, because biblical counseling actually helps. I can't remember, Mrs. Friel and I, we were watching some show. I don't know what it was. Probably a waste of time. And somebody who had some major issues is sitting in front of a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist is asking questions and giving nothing. And I'm yelling at the TV, show me what you got. Show me what you got. Come on. Give it to us, PhD. Show me how you're going to help this person that's struggling. They've got nothing. Or maybe they'll give advice like, oh, you struggle with emotional. When you really get overcome by your emotions, wrap your arms around yourself and then pat yourself. Really? That's what you've got. Now, there might be some physiological effect from tapping yourself like that. That ain't going to make the problem go away. It ain't going to help me think rightly about it. That's what biblical counseling. They can't. They've got no basis. They've got no foundation, and they've got zero authority other than what they concoct and put together in an eclectic mix of what they call psychology. Let's return to Katie's diary, where we are learning that the Bible applied is what's needed to help people overcome this issue. Dear diary, I've crossed several milestones in the last year and a half. I've taken some terrible, awful, no good, very bad steps backward. Got a plan for that, sinner. I know it sounds potentially defeatist, or it sounds like it's giving a person an out. Well, John actually gives people an out. If you say you have no sin, you deceive ourselves. Truth is not within you. If you confess them, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you sin, little children, if you sin, more of a when you sin, you have an advocate, Jesus, the righteous. And so we need to be aware that people who are struggling with a particular besetting sin, they are going to take some steps backwards. It doesn't throw us into a panic. It doesn't put us into a theological tailspin. Instead, we're reminded it's a process. Sanctification is growth. Upward, slightly trending, sometimes up, sometimes down, but basically trending upward. That is sanctification. And a part of a sanctification plan includes a failure plan. What are you going to do? Because here's the inclination. Let's just say you've got an eating issue. You haven't done whatever your manifestation is for 3 months, and then you slip. All goes out the window. Don't even know why I try anymore. I'm not even sure I believe in God. Slow your roll. Confess your sins. You have an advocate, Jesus the righteous. Without having a failure plan, which is, it's almost going to be inevitable with so many of these struggles, you're going to quit. You're going to give up. You're going to throw in the towel. God does not want you to do that. Back to Katie. By God's grace, I've also taken some amazing, awesome, so good, very rad leaps forward. I'm no longer going to individual counseling. Whoa. My parents have agreed to start coming with me. Wow. There's been a lot of progress in that relationship. Still a ton to go. I've also seen progress in how I handle my body, weight, and food. I've been able to establish a routine for regular exercise, but I log how much I'm doing and I show this to my accountability partner. That's good wisdom. I have a similar routine of accountability for my food intake. This is why you need a local church. Dear diary, at this point, denial and pride are my biggest enemies. It's so easy for me to deny I ever had a problem. It's a slippery slope. After all, I don't have a problem. And then I think I don't need safeguards. And if I don't have safeguards, I don't need others prodding into my affairs. And if I don't have others prodding into my affairs, I don't need to talk to anyone. And if I don't need to talk to anyone, I become private and a secretive person. As I learn to live a victorious life, I cannot keep secrets. That's a part of dealing with eating issues. Got to bring it into the light. Got to keep it in the light. I cannot keep secrets, living in darkness, concealing my affairs. I can pretend God doesn't know what's going on, but he does. I know it's going to be hard for me to keep living for God's beauty rather than my own. I know it's going to be hard to surrender control. I know I'm going to fail. In the midst of the battles, God has never given me reason to return to my old life. He's renewing me day by day to look more like Him. Outwardly, I struggle and fail and fade and die. He breathes life into my dead, dry bones. He turns everything in my life into an opportunity for good and glory. He goes ahead of me. He walks with me. He holds me. He never leaves me. He fights for me, and He wins. You can have that victory if you struggle with eating disorders. This was certainly not a complete treatment on the subject, but I hope one note will continue ringing in your ears. If you have an eating disorder or know someone who does, oh, there's power available for you. And there is, oh, so much hope. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.